Vice memo.
Oh, there we go. Right.
I love that. What kind of phone have you got? You can just command it to do stuff. I've never thought of setting it up that way. I don't even know if I can.
It's just an iPhone, and you press the little circle.
Yeah.
And then it just it does what you say. But I always have to repeat it because I don't think they're very like. I don't think they've really figured out Manchester accents.
Oh, right. Is that the issue?
Yeah.
Is that where you are now? You're in Manchester?
Yeah. Oh, so gosh. I don't know if it's like the Manchester accent and just the silly Vice in general. They've not really figured out what I'm saying. So I always have to repeat myself.
Hello, it's Jen Ives again, and you are listening to the Peak Trans Podcast. And oh my gosh, what an episode I have got for you today. I sat down and had a chat with one of my favourite current comedians, Josh Jones. I saw Josh at a gig in Soho, I believe it was. Was it? It was definitely in London. That's definitely where it was. And I hadn't heard of him before. And I was like, oh my God, this guy is really funny. He's got an incredible take on the world, etc, etc. Anyway, it was love at first sight is what I'm saying. You might know Josh from his latest appearance on the Jonathan Ross Comedy Club, and also his appearance on 8 out of 10 Cats last year, which is amazing. It was so nice to see him on the telly. I think you're going to really like this conversation. We talked about a lot of interesting things to do with being gay, to be with being trans, obviously. That's what this podcast is about. Don't forget that you can follow me on Twitter at Jen Ives Comedian, and you can follow Josh at Joshua S. Jones. I'll just spell that J-O-S-H-U-A-S-S Jones. So like Joshua Jones, but in the middle it says ass. Anyway, I will get on with the podcast now. I'll just let it start. I won't do too much waffle because I want you to start listening to Josh. And I'll talk to you again at the end. What do you reckon? I'll give you a little bit more of an update at the end, and that'll be nice. All right, guys, enjoy the podcast. Talk to you later. It's one of those subjects, right, that every time I've tried to talk about it with people who aren't trans or tried to, like, do a podcast on the topic, it always, inevitably, like, each conversation goes a bit depressing. it always ends up getting a bit serious and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, like, I'm sort of trying to make it not too serious all the time. So that's why I kind of wanted to talk to, you know, lighthearted, funny people that I like. But just to start off, so the podcast is called Peak Trans. Do you know what that term means? Have you heard that before?
Peak Trans.
Yeah, Peak Trans.
No.
Okay, because like a lot of people think that I invented it or that it's like my slogan or something. But no, it's like it's a real thing. Like it started on like a blog, and it's basically like, you know, like the gender critical movement that's happening a lot at the moment. Yeah, they sort of invented it, and it basically refers to that moment when you sort of had enough of the trans agenda, and it's sort of like the last straw, and that's your peak trans moment. Like you've been peak trans, and now you actually see it for what it is, which is like a nutty group of people trying to eliminate gay, lesbian rights. So yeah, just thought I'd let you know. Just thought I'd give you some information about what it
that is. So strange. It just baffles me, like, as a gay person, when gay people are transphobic. I'm just like, oh my god, are you what the fuck are you doing? It's like, how do you not see the hypocrisy in what you are doing, you piece of shit? It's like mind-boggling.
Well, this is interesting to me, right? Like talking to you as a gay man, right? Because like for this podcast, I've only spoken so far to sort of like straight white.
Oh my comics. God, I'm so sorry and, that you had to go through that.
No, but it's been fun because it's been a slightly more confrontational. Yeah. Which is fun. But in a fun way, you know. But as a gay man, have you heard much about the recent sort of like LGB alliance and like various gay men sort of coming out in the media and sort of aligning themselves with gender critical groups and that, or is it something that you hear about?
I've seen it quite a lot because I do have quite a lot of like transgender friends, so I do see that a lot anyway. And it's so like upsetting, like what's that fucking guy from Notting Hill, and it's like, why are you being such a bastard?
Is that James
Drake? Is that his name, the one who
the guy from Gimme Gimme?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my God, especially when it's like, I know he's not old, but older LGBTQ plus people, like older gay people. I'm like, you must have had it very difficult, like in the 90s and all this shit. So like, where's your empathy gone? How have you like forgotten what it's like to be treated like this? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. That's the weird thing. It is like a lack of empathy.
Yeah, and it's insane. And I'm not giving like cisgendered straight people oh, it's fine because they're straight. No, I'm just saying I can understand more why they would be like transphobic than I can a gay person.
Well, the weird thing I find about it is like, from what I can understand, it's about like they feel that like accepting trans people as a thing contributes to like eliminating the idea of same-sex attraction, right? So they feel like it sort of like confuses things, which I find really weird. It's just weird, the idea that someone else's identity can like erase yours. But it's interesting what you said about like the fact that you got lots of trans friends and stuff. The way I've been sort of like positioning this podcast is like as a joke, sort of saying to people like, oh, you know, I know you don't know any trans people, because they sort of, most of them don't. Like I'll be your frame of reference or whatever, but that's great that you know a lot. I was expecting you to know more than the average because you are a member of the LGBT community.
Quite a lot. And I don't know. Yeah, don't even know. I just have done since I came out, really.
And when was that? When did
so
you
I didn't come out until I was 20. But I was always femme. Really feminine. So everyone knew, but I didn't come out of the closet until I was 20.
Well, that's interesting, because I was going to ask you, like, and again, something I've been asking everybody is sort of, how do you feel about your gender, right? Because a lot of the time, cisgender people don't get asked it. And like, I always wonder, like, I was talking to, do you know Will Duggan? I was talking to Will Duggan about this, and I also have spoken to Alistair Beckett King about it. And they both sort of had a similar answer where I said to them, you know, do you think about your gender? Is that something that ever comes up to you? And both of them were like, no, like not really. And I just found that mind-blowing, like as somebody who like used to think of nothing.
It's such a loaded question for me. I've had this conversation with so many of my friends, especially like non-binary friends. I'm just like, oh God, because with me, I'm just like, I'm not, I don't even know. Just leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I find it really difficult because I don't like, so I'm definitely like, I'm definitely would say that I'm cisgendered. I'm not like non-binary or anything. Just because I'm like some of the people who I've got one person in my mind at the moment, especially like, because obviously non-binary has always been there, but it hasn't, it's not really been part of the language since like what, 2016, 17? Like it's not been.
Yeah.
So I remember a friend really, really struggling with the gender, like identity, and they just was like, am I a man or am I a woman? They were so confused and like just didn't know. And then when people started talking about non-binary and stuff, it was the relief of them. Now that's what they know, that's what they are, and we always knew that's what they were, but we didn't know that there was a word for it, you know. So now that they have this word and they identify as non-binary, it's fabulous. The whole, they just seem so much like the relief is just amazing, you know. And so I know that because I've never struggled with my gender identity as much as that, but I did struggle with it a lot when I was younger and when I was a closeted and stuff, and I was like fighting against the fact of being gay. I did think for a while that maybe I was transgender. So for me, it is quite difficult because as well, I don't know if it makes me feel uncomfortable speaking about it because I know that I'm not and I'm cisgendered. I feel like, oh, if like transphobic people hear me go, when I was younger, I thought maybe I was, but then I realized I wasn't, then they could just use that as, do you know what I mean? Against trans.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
So it makes.
I totally get that because that's a big, that is a big thing at the moment. You know, that's like recently there was that gay magazine, right, called Boys Magazine, yeah. Which to be honest with you, I've never read. I've hung out in gay bars before. I've not seen Boys Magazine.
I haven't.
But they got in trouble for aligning themselves with LGB Alliance, which you know, quite a few, not a majority, but there are more gay men doing that at the moment than I was aware of before. And yeah, like their main fear is like that there's going to be gay youth who think they're trans and then go down the sort of like quote unquote wrong path or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you say that you went through a phase of thinking you might be trans. You know, before I came out like 10 years ago, before that, I had moments where I was like, you know, I always knew I was trans or whenever I first got like a word for it, I knew. But the thing is, before that, you know, I entertained the idea in my head, like, oh, maybe I'm just gay, maybe I'm just this, whatever. Like, you have to go through those moments. You have to sort of like play with stuff to know what you want.
Yeah. But then I just like now, like years later, because I'm 28 now, so I came out like 8 years ago. Well, I started coming out when I was like 19. It took about 2 years. It wasn't a quick like process. So it's been just under 10 years. But yeah, because I did wonder about it for so long when I was younger, but now I know that I am cisgendered now. Obviously, I think it's a spectrum a bit, and I don't like, but I would say that I am. But it just makes me feel a bit uncomfortable talking about it because, as I said, I don't want any transphobic people to be like, use that against people who I love. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. No, I totally understand that. Yeah. And there's a lot of them at the moment.
But so. my full confusion is just because I'm a feminine man, you know? Yeah. So, and it's only just been like the last 2 years I've like come to terms with that, you know?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because like there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. Like there, in fact, there's things that you don't hear people talk about a lot is the fact that there are, you know, I don't consider myself necessarily one of them, but there are like more masculine trans women as well, like intentionally. So it just shows that you don't have to necessarily conform to all of those sort of stereotypes. Yeah. You know, you can be who you are and still be a trans person or still not be a trans person. It's more than just that.
Yeah, because now I realize, oh, like I am just a feminine man, and being a feminine man doesn't make you any less of a man.
No, absolutely.
So but it's only just been because like I hated my voice, you know, and like it even happens now sometimes when like I'll be on the phone, like if I are, well, occasionally I'll order a takeaway on the phone. Normally I use Uber, but whenever I have, a lot of the times I'll get like misgendered and they'll be like, can't think it's a woman because it's like a high pitched voice, especially if I'm like being friendly on the phone. Do you know what I mean?
Men aren't friendly. I mean, that's no.
I don't know. I hated my voice and have only just started to actually like it, but it, I hated it for so long because it just caused me like so much trouble. And it was, I don't know, and it was one of the things that like highlighted, you know, me being like less masculine. And it, I don't know, just it's such a complicated thing for me. I don't even know myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying, but I do think it's, well, it's at least really interesting for me because I don't get to hear cisgender people talk a lot about their gender and sort of like how they view it, because like you said, it, there is a spectrum to it, you know. Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, it is a tough one. Yeah. It is confusing.
And as well, like, I think a lot of people who don't know many LGBTQ plus people in general do get confused between gender and sexuality. So, like, do you know what I mean? So when I was younger, when I was a teenager, and I started having like gay sexual fantasies, you know, hormones kicking in, all that stuff. A lot of like my fantasies, I don't know if this is too much, but a lot of my fantasies would be like, if I was having a wank, would be like me being like, pretending like, thought I had a vagina, like me getting penetrated in the vagina. You know what I mean? But yeah. I put that down.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah.
But I put that.
It's not too much at all.
I put that down to probably like, you know, not watching gay porn or whatever, and just like all of the sex you, because now there's a lot of gay sex scenes, but not when we was younger,
and we're a similar age, yeah. So that's like the problem, right, is that, you know, they talk a lot about sex education and that and how there's no like LGBT inclusivity usually with sex education, and there definitely wasn't when I was growing up, and that's probably why, you know, that's probably why you didn't have a choice.
Yeah, and I remember when Todd Grimshaw off Coronation Street kissed Nick, and it was a big storyline, and it was on like the cover of the papers, and it was on the news, and people were like, this is disgusting. And I remember being a kid, and that was when I started to realize I was gay, and I was just like, oh my god, this is awful.
And the newspapers and the way the media reacts to it is a big part of what stops people from coming out. Like, it certainly was for me. Do you remember there was a reality TV show called There's Something About Miriam? Did you ever watch
No. that? Or is it like some awful thing about transgendered people?
Oh yeah, it's like one of the worst. It's notorious. It was basically like a, you know, those programs where there's one beautiful woman and then like loads of men trying to fight for their
affections.
It's that sort of thing. But the twist of it was that she was a trans woman, and it was all over the papers at the time. And I just remember having that same thing where I thought, oh, that's what I am. That's my future, and I should probably not tell anyone.
Yeah,
about this.
That's yeah. Because I remember my first like remembrance of a trans person on TV was, I think for a lot of people our age, was Nadia from Big Brother,
and
I remember everyone like taking the piss in school, do you know what I mean? I probably did, you know.
I probably did.
So it was like, oh, and as well,
it's a diversion tactic.
Yeah, and as well, I remember doing this myself. Like, I used to love the Mighty Boosh, and the way it's like, I've got a mangina thing.
Oh and yeah, old Graham.
Yeah, and you just repeat. I just weird shit, and it's like now when you look back at it, you're like, wow. That's just like not great. It's awful. So what I was saying when I was talking about my sexuality sort of thing, when I was first started wanking for years, would imagine me with a vagina and like getting licked out and stuff. Because of what we just discussed, now I think that was the reason. But for years, and I'm talking years, Jen, I was like, oh, like, I want a vagina. But then I was just like, oh no, men can get licked out as well. It's just in a different place. So
yeah,
I don't know.
No, it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. It's really,
and as well, it's because it's like, because my personality, so not even just my campness, but like my personality is quite like, everyone else, all my friends take the piss out of me, like I'm an old lady, like I bake pies for people, I'm really nurturing, I'm like an old lady, do you know what I mean? Just all these all these personality traits, like stereotypically would belong to like a woman. And over the last like decade, I've started to just slowly break down and be like, no, these stereotypes can belong to men as well, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like one of the biggest sort of stereotypes is that, you know, women are more empathetic and things like that. But something that I've learned over the past few years is that some, you know, because of the gender critical movement specifically, some of the most unempathetic people I've seen have been women. So in that scenario.
Yeah.
So it just shows that like these stereotypes, they're not set in stone at all. You know, no. And that's, I'm really interested about that. I'm not saying you have to keep going.
I'll talk about whatever you want. I'm not bothered.
But just that sexuality aspect of it, right? Because like I think trans people have a similar thing, you know. I think trans women have a similar thing in the sense that, you know, there are trans women that decide to get an operation, which they call like body surgery or whatever. And there are trans women who decide not to do that. And I think to a lot of people that's, you know, they get confused by that and they think, well, I thought you wanted to be a woman, you know, having a vagina is a distinguishable part of being a woman. So why don't you want one? It's complicated, isn't it, when it comes to sexuality?
Yeah.
Because again, you know, some trans women are more dominant. Again, I'm not necessarily one of them, but some are and some aren't. And this, you know, this idea of being penetrated or whatever, like you were saying, there's more than one route.
Now I know. Oh, trust me, Jack. Yeah. I put the work in. I know now.
Oh, me too.
But now, like, let's just be as honest as possible. So now, like, I would openly admit that, like, I like to be, you know, treated like a princess in the bedroom. I like to be like, be told I'm pretty and, you know, be the less dominant one. But
same. Just to be out there.
But I just,
just so you don't feel alone.
Thank you. That has never changed since I started having sexual fantasies when I was younger. It's always been the same sort of like position, but it's just now I realize that I can do that position with my genitals, you know? Yeah, I was confused about that for years. And I have spoke about it with like friends and stuff before. But yeah, I've never really spoke about it on a public thing, just because I don't want to seem disrespectful to like the non-binary friends that I have, because they like are so non-binary that it's so obvious to them. Well, it's obvious now they identify, but I mean, like obviously they struggled with it. But I mean, because for me, I don't think about it as much anymore, and I just started to go, oh no, I'm just a femme guy. I would never identify as non-binary, but to say, do I still question my gender? Yes, I do. A lot. Sometimes, not a lot, but I do. But I just think that is, I think that's more just like a toxic masculinity thing more than a gender thing. And I think my brain's just confusing the two. you know?
Yeah, I think so too. I think, and I, also I think, you know, there's going to be quite a few trans people listening to this, because, you know, over the past couple of months, somehow I've managed to amass a trans following that I've always kind of wanted and never been able to get. But it's nice, you know, some young trans people listening.
It's fab.
And yeah, and I think I get what you're saying about responsibility and like not wanting to get the wrong message across and stuff, because I've started to feel that recently too.
Yeah.
But I do think it comes from that. I do think a lot of trans people relate to that in the sense of dysphoria. A lot of the time for me is this idea of like being hit with this question of like, is what you're doing now, does it give you away, or does it conflict with what society sees as your gender or whatever. So for example, in the past, like I would never have dreamt of like when I first started transitioning, I would never have dreamt of like wearing jeans or like not going out without makeup on or whatever. As I've gotten older and I've gotten more comfortable, I don't think about that stuff anymore, you know. It just becomes unimportant, and it's not like a signifier for me anymore. So yeah, I guess that's sort of what I mean, is like it's all related, and it is all based on like internalized sort of expectations that you have on yourself, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. But it's just, I do feel like, can you hear me feel awkward? I feel so...
Oh, I love it.
Nervous,
I love it.
Talking about it.
Well, that's why I wanted to do the podcast, because I love it. Like, it's even more fun. I mean, like, I feel bad because, you know, you are a part of the LGBT community, and actually, like, you're not transphobic at all. But it's funny talking to, like, as I said, like cis straight white men, because they feel so awkward as well.
Yeah, you know?
because people don't want to talk about it. Like I the trans thing, like people, especially nowadays, they really don't want to talk about it, because the only people that are vocally talking about it are people who are, you know, pieces of shit.
Yeah,
like, there's so many people like outspoken about it, they're pieces of shit. But, and it's okay to not get things, and it's okay to, you know, be wrong.
Yeah, but it's so weird, like, because like I put quite a lot of stuff out online, and I built up like quite a few followers on TikTok now.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about your TikTok.
And I don't really I try not to go in the comments, but I do get told to by some friends sometimes to be like, just delete that comment. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I just get so fed up with the fact that like I still deal with homophobia. It's online, so it doesn't feel as hurtful, but it's still annoying. And it's just like, oh God, you're putting stuff online and people are liking it, and 98% of the stuff is great, and then you've just got people just being horrible. And then because I'm so camp, like questioning who you are, like, is that voice real? It's like, well, yeah, I chose this voice, did I? No, I didn't. I wouldn't have gone to high school with this voice, dickhead. Just like, I don't know, obviously, like, this is why I get so upset when gay people are transphobic, especially the camp ones, because when I speak about like gay people, I feel like we should break it down to like more gay presenting people, because like for me, I can't help being any more camp than I can being gay. But then you get other gay men who are like, it's gays like you giving us a bad name. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, again, I'm not a gay man, but I do know that there is that stigma in the gay community sometimes against sort of like, sometimes people don't want to date necessarily effeminate men.
Now when I get told that, I tell them off. I used to just say okay, and now I break down how they're a piece of shit for saying that to me. And
how do you do
that? I just tell them how much of a hypocrite they are, and that how I can't like control the having a gay voice any more than I can control being attracted to men. So they're a hypocrite. And I just say, if you happen to be straight, you would have been a homophobe.
Yeah. So how does that come about then? So is that like a conversation is initiated, like someone is interested in you, what before they hear you or before they know too much about you, and then they say they're not interested.
If people say they're not interested, that is fine. I'm so fine with it. No one is entitled to be interested in anyone. But it's just like with gay men, I feel like it doesn't happen as much now. But when I first started dating people, it just felt like it was just so fine to be like, you are too camp for me. So do you know, like, normally if you're not interested in someone, you say, you're really nice, but we just got nothing in common. Like, just lie to me. I don't need to know the reasons. Yeah. But it's just them going, you sound too gay. You are too camp. And now I'm just like, I will break that down and be like, no, I'm not. This is just a voice. You know what I mean? If you listen. So it's just, I don't know. But I think that's starting to get highlighted a bit now. So hopefully those hypocrites will learn to shut their fucking mouths.
Again, like there's a parallel, I think, with the trans experience there. Like, and this is the thing that annoys me, right, with all of these conversations, is there's so much talk about what's different about us and, you know, what we should all, you know, be wary of or whatever. But the truth is we've got way more in common than anybody thinks. And that's why this idea of the LGB society or whatever it's called, alliance, pissed me off so much, because its whole identity as an organization is based on getting rid of one letter. And it confused me as well, right? Because I kind of would regard myself, I suppose, as bisexual, but only to the degree that, like, that's the easiest way for me to describe my own experience, right? But I primarily date guys now, but the LGB Alliance, like, they talk so much about, like, why the T should be separate, but in my experience and throughout the past 10 years of, you know, integrating with the sort of, like, gay LGBT movement or whatever, and living in Brighton for a bit and meeting lots of different people, it just seems insane to me. It seems insane to
separate.
Yeah, it seems mad. I think what it proves to me is that a lot of these organizations or a lot of, like, the gender critical movement or whatever, I don't think it is primarily, like, real LGBT people. I genuinely think there's, like, some of these people, I don't think they've been in a gay bar in their life.
Yeah, I think that. I think it's just like, kind of like, do you already, when you get like gay for pay, but like they're doing it more like gay for having a go at people on social media.
like they've seen one episode of Drag Race on BBC, and they think they've got it.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, it's just so ridiculous. Oh, I feel as well now, some people are just like jumping on the bandwagon for views, because, like, if you've got like a right wing, if you've got strong right wing views, it doesn't matter if you've got no charisma. If you put it on YouTube, you'll get like 10,000 likes on that video. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. They love it as well. Like the right wing group love it when there's someone who they can sort of identify as a minority who shares their views. Like, they love that. Like, that's like their token person. They'll promote that till the end of earth.
I feel like, I don't know if it's just because I've been on my phone more because of lockdown, but I feel like recently I've been exposed more to the right-wing YouTube, and I'm like, this is YouTube should stop this. It's awful.
It's the algorithm, isn't it? Like, I've had that too. Like, my YouTube used to be absolutely lovely. Like, I just had loads of nice stuff on there, just people, like, kids falling over and, like, things like that.
I think it's because, so I follow, like, on YouTube, and I don't put anything on YouTube myself, but I've subscribed to quite a few people, and I follow, like, there's this trans girl who always does reaction videos to, like, transphobes. So I watch them.
I'm sure I follow them as well. I'm sure
so,
I do.
So because of that, I think it like changes my algorithms. And also I do follow some like right-wing homophobic people just because, just because.
You want to keep your eye on
that
them.
And material for the stage.
And, exactly. And me too.
Just because it, like, it terrifies me, and I think, when you're in like, because both of us we work in the fucking arts. Do you know what I mean? We're queer people who work in the arts. I mean, can you get more left wing liberal? It's just it's ridiculous. Like we are ridiculous. So it's like, I do think it's important to remember that these people in like, not on the other side of the world, nowhere, like these people near you who have really damaging like opinions about you, you know? And I don't know. I just think it's important to stay like up to date. Cause I think if I just spoke to my friends, I would be like, everybody loves us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're 100% right. That's So same thing, like on Twitter, I follow a lot of people who are, they're like trans activists, I guess is how they would define themselves, more than say like me, who just defines myself as like a comedian who's trans or whatever. But these are people who like legitimately like dedicate a lot of their time to like sharing causes and important shit. Yeah. But because of that, I see like everything. Like I see like everything that's going on with the government or with particular transphobic things that are happening or deaths or anything. And sometimes it does get a bit overwhelming. And I feel like, oh, I have to like not look at Twitter today because it's just too much. Yeah. But at the same token, I don't unfollow them and I don't like see less of them because I want to know what's going on. You know, I do want to know, but it does sometimes feel like it's just, I don't think other people's Twitters look like my Twitter. You know?
Yeah. My Twitter is so queer. So it's like just full of gay and trans people. And I love it. I put a tweet on yesterday saying how much I love it. I love it for the fun because I think the references are so funny. Like, it's because obviously it's people you identify with more, so you've got more of a similar sense of humour or whatever. But then also you have the same fears, so all the negative stuff that's getting shared, it can be quite like, oh, God, yeah, you just need... You need a day off. That's why I like Instagram, because I feel like Instagram is more happy.
Oh, it is, yeah, but it's more boring, isn't it? Like, the thing, like, Instagram, I barely look at it because I just find it so dull.
Oh, yeah, I love it, because it's just so, like, happy, and it's just like, oh, my God, just look how, like, I just love it.
Oh, no, it's because it's people I know, and they're not interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Usually invite the guest to ask me something about being trans that maybe they've always wanted to know. But if you've already got a lot of trans friends, you probably got it already sussed. So, but if you
I can ask like more of like, instead of like what being trans in general, just like your personal view on stuff.
Yeah, you can ask me whatever you want.
So, okay. When I'm on, if I'm like on trains or something, and like I don't answer my phone when I'm in public a lot of the times, if I'm somewhere where I don't know and I feel a bit unsafe, because I feel like my feminine voice is a bit of an easy tag, makes me a bit of an easy target to some people, and then I might like get mugged, or if people you know, if like someone who looks a bit dodgy will ask for like the time or whatever, I'll be like, I'll put on like a deeper voice and I'll speak like that. Just because I just don't want to make myself like, I just don't want to get beaten up, basically. So I was just wondering, like, is there any times now, living in London or whatever, where you feel you have to like do something to make sure you feel safe? Like, I do that to make sure I feel safe in certain places. I was wondering if you have a similar thing.
Yeah, so, well, it's interesting that you say that about answering the phone in public and stuff. Like, certainly in the past, I definitely had something similar, which is that, you know, one part of like sort of a lot of people's sort of trans experience is, you know, vocal feminization or whatever, right? So yeah. Trying to get your voice to a, so it's ironic because it's almost like the opposite sort of what you wanted to do, right? Yeah. Which is like, it's making it a conscious effort to sound more feminine.
Yeah.
But that's as a result of, you know, puberty and things that are difficult to reverse or whatever. And I've had a thing where, you know, if I'm on the bus or the train and someone phones me, I just wouldn't answer it. Not just because there's someone around who I think might hurt me, but just because, like, I just don't want to stand out. You know, I just really don't want to. As I've gotten older and gotten slightly better at it, and I feel more confident about that. But in terms of being in public, like, or maybe walking home at night or things like that, like, I've definitely found myself trying to fit in more. I have this weird thing, right, where when I meet a new group of people, I want to just introduce myself as a blank slate, as a person. So I find that it's possible that I might sort of adjust my body and perhaps like play up a little bit more certain feminine things, maybe. But it's all kind of subconscious, you know, and I think once I relax, it kind of might go away.
Goes away.
Yeah, but it's a performative part of existing, I think, sometimes, right?
Yeah, no, I understand. I get what you're saying 100%.
Yeah, and I definitely do it a lot less now. Definitely. But for example, like in a job interview, like my last job interview, I remember distinctly having a similar thing, right? Which is that, like, I was like, no, I don't, you know, I don't want to even, I don't, because you always wonder how much people know and how much people don't know. And, you know, will that affect things? Will that affect your chances of getting the job or not getting the job? Mm. Or just how people generally perceive you, even now. And again, people say, like, oh, it's so easy now, it's so accepting. But because of all the stuff I see about the gender critical movement, and it does, honestly, like, the truth is that it feels like to me that I am not liked, like in society, like, even though even if people are being nice to me, and, you know, I never meet gender critical people in real life, it does feel like, because of the media and the laws changing and things, it feels like I'm a problem. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
So it does, to a degree, I try not to identify myself. Sorry to ramble, but another example is, like, obviously using the toilet now. Like, using public toilets is for me, has always been a, like, no, I need to get in and get out as quickly as I can. Like, I'm not taking any time. Yeah. To, like, check my hair in the mirror and stuff, you know, I'll wash my hands, but I'll do a poor job of it. Like, I'm trying to get out of there, and that's because I you know, and again, less so now, but certainly, like, I go through periods where I just I'm terrified of, like, getting into an altercation.
God, yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, so they're the main sort of examples, but it's COVID has helped because no one's using public toilets, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. But I just, But do you know what was interesting? When with you, like, I didn't know you as trans when I met you. And then when you was, I saw you on Twitter, and then I was like, oh, right. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, I think that's, like, I think trans people absolutely love to hear that. that's kind of a fucked up thing, right? It's like, there's this thing now of, like, you know, it's not a problem if you don't necessarily pass, you know. But at the same time, like, I do definitely have that thing in my mind where I'm like, oh, that's a nice compliment.
But it's like, it's just like, you just have to think about, like, I don't know, like, the reason I ask, like, safety wise is, like, so my friend who's trans, and she only just started a transition not that long ago, was just, like, saying, oh, I'm moving to Manchester. And I was like, well, let me know where you're going to live, because you're, like, you have to live in an area where you're going to be safe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she's, like, moving from down south, so doesn't know it that well.
Right, so, yeah. No, it is, yeah, definitely is important. Yeah.
So I was like, I just wondered if you still do, because, like, when I met you, I just, well, do you want to know the energy that I got off you when I met you?
Yeah, go on, tell me.
When I saw you, I was like, you had like very like cisgendered bisexual geography teacher vibes.
Geography teacher?
like a cool geography teacher.
I'm not particularly good at geography. I don't know what exactly what it means. I mean, the bisexual energy I can get behind.
It's because you was in like a suit. Is it like a black and white one?
Yeah, it's green. It's yeah. I do. Yeah. I was wearing a suit. Yeah. I was going for a stage. Stage.
It was very like that. So that was the vibe that I got. I was like, oh, yeah. She's like a cool geography teacher.
That's like my power suit, you know, like it's it was just a stage that I was going through. I still wear it sometimes.
It was a great suit.
I do like it, yeah.
Here's another question, Sarah. So how long have you been out as trans? Like 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years. I started when I was at uni.
So when you started, wouldn't have worn a suit?
No way, yeah, no way.
So how long now is it, how long has it been since you'd like feel comfortable to wear a suit?
Yeah, it's only recent. It's probably like 10 years, right? Because, well, here's the thing. A lot of people who are critical of trans people, like they often say like, you hear this sometimes, you hear people say, well, what you're doing is a performance or an imitation of womanhood, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of trans people get accused of over-feminizing, trying to, you know, and you know what? There might sometimes be some truth to that when people first come out. Maybe they do overcompensate. But a lot of the time, there's a completely, like, logical.
But that's just the same as like, because like you've just come out, so it's like similar to when a gay person comes out, they go crazy for the dick. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so
there,
it's like
there is definitely that. There is that. But also,
so like, if you just like have just openly come out as a transgendered woman, you're gonna be like what you think the biggest idea of a woman is.
Yeah. Definitely, there is that for sure. But also, there's also just the purely like logical side of it, right? Which is that when you first come out, you haven't taken any hormones. You don't know what you're doing necessarily. You don't have a social experience of, you know, your mum teaching you how to put your makeup on and things like that.
Yeah.
So you're gonna get it wrong a lot of the time, and the example that I can give is if I'm at the start of my transition and I walk into the post office and I want the person behind the counter to call me madam, or not madam, that's a fucking nightmare, but to call me miss or whatever.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot easier for them to understand that that's what I'm trying to communicate to them if I'm wearing a dress as opposed to a suit.
Yeah.
But now I've gotten to the point where I legitimately don't give a fuck. Like, I literally don't care. And I don't know if that's just a combination of being down by life or whatever, but...
Well, that's great, though, that you've got to that point. That's fab.
But also, it's a luxury as well, right? Because you said that, like, oh, you didn't know that I was trans. I can do that. Like, I can wear a suit and still... Just in the same way as, like, I don't really want to wear makeup. Like, I don't so much anymore. I wear, like, a few things. But, my preference is not to wear it. You know, I want to pass without that, you know?
Yeah. Like, sometimes I just, like, when I said before, I've spoke so much about my vice, and it's like, I've had such a complicated relationship with my vice, and one of the main reasons is because like sometimes I just don't want everyone to know that I'm gay. So if I'm in Asda like buying something, do you know what I mean, and I like pay for it or whatever, I just want to be another person paying for that. Like, I've had it before when a woman has been like, oh, my grandson's gay. I don't care. Do you know what I mean? Like,
trying to hook you up or whatever.
Yeah. And it's just like every time you open your mouth to a stranger, you come out the closet with this voice. Yeah. And it's just sometimes it's just like, ugh. I just want to be like invisible. I just want to be a person.
And yeah, then, it's a nightmare because there's so many assumptions that come with it, right? Like, you've got a bit, haven't you, in your one of your routines that I remember is that like it was something to do with you being a bully or whatever, right? or if not a bully, like being hard and
like me being on that more aggressive, and I did like boxing and stuff at school.
So again, it's like someone who hears your voice would assume so many different things about you, and it wouldn't encompass any of that.
Yeah, because I did like, that's why I did like boxing and stuff, and I speak about that on stage and people are so confused. But when I did boxing, I sounded like this. Yeah, I feel like the juxtaposition of my voice to some of the stuff I've done is like quite funny. But so like sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to. But obviously being trans, I feel like I don't know, but if you were trans and, as you said, you've not, like, you've started hormones or whatever, then that's probably why the people, well, you said that's why you didn't, like, that's why people wear dresses. But that's what I wanted to know about the suits. I just wanted to know
that suit, like, I feel like I found the purpose for that suit now. It's like I wear it and it's like a bit of a character. Also, do you know what, like, it was genuinely like giving me some stage confidence at a certain point. It was this weird thing where it was like, when I wore it, I felt like, oh, I'm it's, do you know what it is as well? It's, I don't know if you've ever had this, but sometimes I would go on stage and I would feel like the audience didn't trust me. Or like they didn't trust that I was going to be funny because I didn't look like what they expect a comedian to be, which is for the most part, you know, like a laddish kind of guy is sort of like what a comedian is to people in their mind.
Yeah.
And the suit just somehow, it was just doing something. It was just helping to kind of say I'm a comedian. It's almost like a bit of a garish, like, comedy suit.
I don't wear that's it. That's why I got time. Like, I think that's why I jumped to like geography teacher. Because when I think of a geography or history teacher, I think of like patterns. Do you know what I mean?
And it's funny because that's so not me as well. Like, it's really not. Like, I've chilled out a lot now, you know. I just dress how I want to dress on stage.
That is a fabulous suit, though. I'm just letting you know that. Because I remember the suit. I'm quite good at remembering when people wear certain outfits. Like, my friend Hannah, like, I always say to her, like, oh, that outfit you wore on this night, she was like, that was, like, 3 years ago. I know. I remember that. Because I feel like if there's an outfit of the day, it'll stay in my mind.
Well, I won't keep you for much longer, Josh, but I've really enjoyed having a chat with you. It's really nice.
I have. It's been lovely.
Yeah, do you know what? It's nice as well just to talk to someone about stand up again. I know comedians sometimes they pretend like they put up this front that's like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to do stand up at the moment. But I've never felt like that. I've always felt like, oh, ever since I started doing it, I've just wanted to do it every night. And I don't know about you, but it's been really difficult for me, like, not doing it and not talking about it and not having a bitch with people about things. And I don't know, like, I just miss that whole scene, really. So
I feel like it's took over my life for like the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I've just gigged constantly. And like, it's been the most important thing to me. And I missed it so much, like, so much. But also, it's been quite nice because it's like, now I realise, like, I need to have other things in my life as well. Mm-hmm. But I do like miss it more than anything. Sometimes I worry that I actually love stand-up more than any person I've ever met.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, I think it shows that you love it, and it's so nice to see you doing really well, and you deserve it.
Thank you. Smashing the Twitter, and you started putting him on Instagram. We'll do a TikTok live and see what you think.
Yeah, you can take me in the shallow end of TikTok live, get me back on that. The problem with TikTok, right, is that I really struggle to conform to sort of like what they want on there. You know, I'm not really, I find it really ugly, you know, like TikTok, like the way it looks and sort of like all the miming along and stuff and all that, all the things that it's best for.
Yeah.
But
I don't do any, do you want, I could give you some TikTok advice from my end.
Please give me some TikTok advice.
I don't do, so I don't do any of that shit. I just see it as another social media platform like Instagram or anything. So it's just like whatever you do, whatever you type in your tweets, you could just make in a TikTok video. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as it's got like a ba-bam somewhere, like a bit of a punchline. And with mine, I've just tried to, like, I don't really do many characters. I've seen a lot of comics doing sketch stuff or whatever. I'm not doing any of that because the reason I'm using TikTok is to build up a fan base so that they come and see me do stand-up. So, yeah. Like, that's, if you keep that in mind, then all you really need to do is showcase your personality on it. So it's like, just try and just be, like, yourself on it. And then you'll build up a people who want to just see you. That's what I'm doing. But I don't know, people might disagree with me.
No, do you know what? I actually think that one thing I've noticed about the young people, as they like to be called, is that I think they can sense authenticity, you know. And I think they don't like it as much when they see someone putting on an act. But I don't know, it depends on the social network, doesn't it? Like you're different people on different ones, and I think you're right. I think you must be right about TikTok because you're doing well on that. I really liked your video about when you were rating your carbs.
But that's just like silly shit that I literally just thought of and then just did it. That's why I love it, because it's like I don't think about anything and it's just made. And then it's done. But I like it because the TikTok lives, when I spoke to people are like really nice. And I've been like, it's just nice to know that people are actually liking you, which is crazy. Yeah. But also, they kind of just ask you questions while you're on. So it's just a bit like MCing.
Yeah, it's as close, spurn on it, little conversations and whatever.
Yeah, it's as close to MCing as you can get whilst you're not being able to be on stage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I started doing Twitch for that reason. Like, I did like two of them. Because I wanted to talk to people and strangers and stuff.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. All right, I will do it. I'll give it another go. I won't throw my hat in on TikTok yet. I'll take one more go with the Josh Jones method. And
find a day when you are doing is a TikTok live and we'll do one together.
Oh, I'm on furlough at the moment. I'm free all the time. Just let me know. Okay,
we'll do one evening.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. I'll get a drink and we'll do it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for giving me your time, Josh. Really appreciate it, especially as you don't really know me. But I feel like we know each other a lot better now.
I feel like we know each other a lot better now. I feel like I've got to know you on your Twitter. I've really, really loved them. I've shared them and loved it.
But, thanks so much.
But yeah, we'll have a little Q&A on TikTok Live someday this week.
That'd be lovely. Yeah, that'd be lovely. Just let me know when.
Okay, babe. Well, right. Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks, Josh. Bye. Have a nice rest of your evening. See you later.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it. What a lovely conversation with a lovely person, Josh Jones. Josh Jones is absolutely hilarious, and I would implore you to go and look up some of his stand-up clips, or like go follow his podcast. He's got a podcast. It's called Dead Drama, and it's really funny. And his TikToks, as we mentioned, are really funny. And I don't know if you got the message about what I'm trying to say, but he's really funny, right? Thanks to everybody who has subscribed to my Patreon. I still can't say it. Patreon. I've got like 9 people on there now, which is proper exciting. If you don't know, I've got a Patreon. It's patreon.com/peak_trans. I think it's underscore. Let me check. I always get it wrong. Patreon, it's an underscore peak trans, and I upload loads of secret stuff there, like videos. You get early access to my commentary video things and occasional music that I make. I put it up there. Also, like I have there's a whole new private secret podcast that that goes up there, but you can only listen to at the moment if you're a Patreon. What else does it have? It's got basically there's loads of stuff on there. Okay, it's good. Access to my private Discord server. As soon as I figure out what a Discord server is. No, I'm joking. We've got a little community on there at the moment. We've got a little group. You could be a part of it. You could call it a secret society. It's like the Freemasons, just with less creepy stuff going on, I guess. Also, I intend soon to get around to editing sort of bonus episodes of this podcast, because I've got so much conversation that I haven't included in these main episodes, because sometimes it goes a little bit more off tangent. It goes on a tangent, not off a tangent. Off a tangent would be boring. It goes off on a tangent. It's not off a tangent or on a tangent. It's off on a tangent. Anyway, listen, what I'm trying to say is that we talk about loads of other stuff, usually comedy related. So I'll compile some bonus episodes, and they will also go on the Patreon. And they will eventually find their way to the public, but not for a few weeks or whatever. Another thing is, if you join the Patreon, you're actually doing it for a good cause, because at the moment none of the money is going to me. It's going to three charities, which are Gendered Intelligence, Black Lives Matter UK, and Rise UK. So that's a good thing to do. I can't promise that the money's always going to go to charity, but it definitely is, as long as I still have a job, okay? That's my promise to you. Anyway, I really am waffling at the moment. Don't forget to follow Josh Jones on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Jen Ives Comedian. Go on my website, jenives.net. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, because it helps. Even if you're not listening to it, just subscribe to it. Please write me a review. Give me a rating and write me a review on Apple or whatever podcast hosting thing you use. Because if you don't, I'm going to be so upset. I'm going to be crying in my room on my own. And that's not something that anybody needs to see. Anyway, thanks again for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And I'll be back again next Friday with another one. Can you believe it? It's so exciting. Anyway, have a nice week, everybody. And I guess it just leaves me